When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We will be in Detroit for the NFL Draft. Coming up in April, CeCe's got the coverage for ESPN Radio. We're doing our show there Thursday and Friday. And there is nobody more synonymous with the NFL Draft than Mel Kiper Jr. And he joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike. All right, Mel, the latest mock draft came out today. And for me, in reading it over from you, the big headline, five QBs in the first round. Tell us about why you have those five slotted in that first round.
Yeah, the spots are tricky, but the five quarterbacks really aren't, because of Bo Nix in Denver makes sense with Sean Payton, seeing a little Drew Brees in him. So I'll go from 12 and work my way up. So 12, Denver, they don't have the second round pick. They are in the AFC. They're in a division with Mahomes and Herbert. They got to get that quarterback. I think Payton will see a lot of Brees. Remember, Brees, you talked about a guy was able to get some rushing touchdowns at 546 rushing yards this last year at Purdue. Bo Nix, 20 rushing touchdowns the last 2 years at Oregon. Completion percentage for Bo Nix at 77%. Drew Brees, very accurate. Hand size for Brees, the same as Nix. Both were at 215 pounds. Nix a little taller at 6'2 than Drew at 6'5. Both professional. Both guys that get the job done. Bo Nix is 24 years of age. But for Sean Payton, I think that makes sense. Then you go to J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota. Are they going to trade up? Are they going to stay where they are? What's going to happen with the Giants at 6? McCarthy for Minnesota want to move up, and you also hear Minnesota could move up to get Drake May if New England wants to move out of 3, which would shock me because New England needs a quarterback as much as they do. Then you go down to New England. New England needs the quarterback. Drake May would be the third quarterback off the board. Didn't have the phenomenal end of the season like he did in 2022 when he struggled against the likes of Virginia and NC State, but he's got a ton of talent, and he lost his offensive coordinator and his top receiver, okay? Then you go to Jaden. Washington. They've made a lot of additions in free agency. They got this team better on both sides of the ball. Everything's new in Washington. GM, coach, everything. Now you get Jaden Daniels, and that's perfect. Then you go to number one. Now that it's not any debate, Justin Fields should be there. That's my opinion, but he's in Pittsburgh. Now it's Caleb Williams' team. They're making, obviously, improvements there. Ryan Poles is. Remember, Ryan Poles was the director of college scouting in Kansas City when they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Now, the one thing is 6, the Giants. I thought about McCarthy there. To bring him in, Daniel Jones, add that competition there. He could be the heir apparent, but I went with the wide receiver to help Daniel Jones and wide receiver Romo Dunn.
Mel, you identified the Washington Commanders pick at 2nd overall to be the pivot point in this draft because there's no clear consensus on the 2nd and 3rd best quarterback in this class, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels. In terms of the attributes that translate to pro success for quarterbacks, what gives Jaden Daniels the edge over Drake May in your latest mock?
Chris, he draws comparisons to Lamar and Randall Cunningham and Lamar Jackson. And I mean, he did everything perfectly. What didn't he do at LSU? He made the same improvement that Joe Burrow did at LSU from junior to senior after transferring from Ohio State. Of course, Jaden transferring from Arizona State. He had obviously great players around him. So did Joe Burrow. Remember a guy named Jamar Chase? So again, you think about where we are with Jaden. He can throw it. He can throw it accurately. He can throw it anywhere on the field. He can run it. Nick Saban and that defensive talent at Alabama and the defensive guru that Nick is couldn't stop Jaden Daniels over the last 2 years. So for Jaden, he nailed the process. He did everything right. He's got his weight up a little bit. He's always going to be thin and the splendid splinter. But the bottom line is he can get the job done at a high level. He's super competitive. And for Washington, with the talent level improving and the NFC, where they're not as loaded with great quarterbacks as the AFC is, I think this is a perfect fit and a great move for Washington, taking a quarterback, like I said, who didn't do anything wrong. Where Drake May had some struggles against Virginia, NC State, missing open receivers, Jaden Daniels was on point all year. He wasn't a pitcher who didn't have his best stuff. He had his best stuff every week for a defense at LSU. They couldn't stop anybody, so he had to try to match points, and he had pressure on him on every drive to come through. So I think for Jaden, that's why I gave him the slight edge over Drake May for the second spot overall on the board.
Yeah, I mean, Mel, you make a compelling case for Jaden Daniels over Drake May. I'm just curious as to the other side of the argument. Is it a production versus potential of Drake May? Why would other teams see it differently in terms of those two quarterbacks?
I don't know who has, Chris, to answer your question. I don't speak to 32 teams, but for Jaden, and then nobody's going to tell you those teams what they're going to be doing, but I think Jaden makes it interesting because I think he closed in on Caleb. I mean, he made that a tougher decision at number one. People say, well, it's Drake or Jaden. I think it's Jaden or Caleb. Jaden put pressure on Caleb because Caleb struggled from that Notre Dame game on a little bit where Jaden didn't, and I think J.J. McCarthy makes you wonder about Drake a little bit because J.J. was a solid quarterback that everything they asked him to do. When he needed to make plays with his arm or his legs, he did it. So I think J.J. challenges Drake. Jaden challenges Caleb. So all this talk about, you know, is Drake going to catch Jaden? I think just holding on to that third spot would be something interesting because you keep hearing New England may not love Drake. You hear it. I have to see it to believe it. But because New England needs a quarterback as much as, say, Minnesota does. So why in the world would you trade out of there unless you like a quarterback like Bo Nix that you can get by moving down, and maybe that's a possibility, but we'll have to wait and see on that. I still have Drake May slotted to New England at three.
Mel, that's interesting what you said about J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. How far do you think those two are as far as talent is concerned? Like, is there a chance maybe J.J. could go third, be the third quarterback off the board,
Don't think so, Michelle, but it wouldn't shock me because J.J. is red hot. And people say, well, he didn't throw a pass against Penn State. How can you take a quarterback who late in the year when Michigan needed a win, this quarterback who you were raving about didn't even throw a pass in the second half of the game? Well, that was because that's all he was asked to do. They were running the football. They had an offensive line that went nine deep. They had a couple outstanding running backs, Corum and Edwards, and they didn't need him to do that. And they had a heck of a defense. So, again, he did what he was asked to do, even in a national championship game when he had to make that key play with his legs to basically change the momentum of the game and change field position in the game. He did it with his legs. He's a super athletic kid. He's a great competitor. He's just turned 21 years of age, so he's very young. He's going to keep getting better because he wants to be great. Is he perfect? No. But in terms of a lot of these quarterbacks coming in, you got to work with them, you got to develop them. So I think for J.J., it's going to be interesting. Does he go to the Giants? Does he go to Minnesota? Does he go to Denver? Those seem to be the three potential landing spots for J.J. McCarthy.
We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. We are joined by Mel Kiper Jr. His updated round one mock draft out today. He's got five quarterbacks in the top 12. Mel, you mentioned New England. I agree with you. I don't see them trading down. I know a lot of people are speculating that they're going to, but when Minnesota made that trade with Houston on Friday, and now they have 11 and 23, we're all speculating that they're going to use that to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. Your draft was no trades. It was just a straight mock draft. Give us the teams that you could see in that scenario trading down with Minnesota to allow them to move up.
It's a great question because I got to believe you have a dance partner when you make that move. You got to have somebody that you believe you can move with. And people say, well, how about the Chargers? Well, the Chargers, guys, right now, you wouldn't be guaranteed anything because who's to say that Arizona won't trade out of there and somebody jumps into that spot and takes J.J. McCarthy? Then you end up without the quarterback maybe you targeted. So you got to get the four to be guaranteed the quarterback, right? You can't get the five. So if you get the three, obviously you are guaranteed that guy. So and then maybe you have a choice there because you keep hearing guys that Minnesota likes Drake May. That could be the guy. So if Minnesota wants to get Drake May, they got to go to three. But does New England want to drop out of three and lose Drake May? So it depends on how they feel. Everybody doesn't have to love every quarterback. Some organizations say, hey, and we don't really love the guy that you want, so come get him. Go ahead. You know, some of these quarterbacks will not live up to the potential we think they have. It happens every year. Now, a few years back when Burrow came out, it was Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. They all turned out great. When Eli and Rivers and Manning were Rivers and Roethlisberger in that draft, they all turned out great, right? So maybe it will be the case, but normally it isn't. So we'll have to see. The talk is in New England, maybe isn't sold on Drake, but that's just a rumor and speculation. But certainly somebody will be, and if it's Minnesota, maybe they jump up from the 11th spot in 23 up to number 3 and take Drake May.
Mel, who's the team in this year's draft that nobody's talking about that could be in the market for a quarterback in round one?
That's a tough, tricky. I think the Giants would be the one. They're talking about it, but I didn't give them one. And I understand the Daniel Jones and the injuries, and Tim Hasselbeck on GetUp was talking about that. We all understand the injuries of Daniel Jones and the fact that he did take a step back, not because of anything he did, because the team wasn't very good and he got hurt. So, again, 2 years ago, he beat Kirk Cousins, or everybody celebrating going to the Atlanta Falcons. I struggled with the Giants because I heard McCarthy. He's red hot. The Giants. But will he be there? I don't even know if he'll be there. Maybe somebody jumps up and gets him ahead of the Giants and they take Odunze or Neighbors, the receiver, to help Daniel Jones, as they did in Cincinnati when Burrow, they brought in Jamar Chase, right? What did they say about Josh Allen? He needed a receiver. They went and got Stephon Diggs. Lamar Jackson, this past year, they got Zay Flowers, who helped him immensely in Baltimore. So for me, if you want Daniel Jones to be a quarterback you can win with this year and jump back into playoff contention like you were 2 years ago, go get Malik Neighbors or Romo Odunze. If you don't believe in Daniel Jones, like some have suggested, then you take J.J. McCarthy if he's there at pick number six.
Mel, let's stick there at the wide receiver position. We have Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. That feels as sure of a thing as almost anything in this draft outside of Caleb Williams. And then you have Malik Neighbors going to the Chargers over Romo Odunze, who you have going six to the Giants. Why do you have Neighbors with the edge over Odunze in this draft?
That's a tough one. I go back and forth. That's a 50-50 split. When you talk to eight teams, four will say Odunze, four will say Neighbors. That's the explosiveness of Neighbors is the reason I went there. Rome gets those contested catches. He's so smooth. He's so consistent. But the explosive nature of what Malik Neighbors does maybe gets him the slight edge. The Chargers could move out of there. They need a right tackle. They need a J.C. Latham from Alabama or Fuaga, Tali Fuaga from Oregon State. So they could move down and get that right tackle, but they need a receiver. And you think about, you know, where they are right now. They got Quentin Johnston and Palmer. Johnston had some struggles with drops at TCU, and the same thing this past year. Wasn't the big hit as a rookie you hoped he would be. So the Chargers could go either way, but I think the explosiveness of Neighbors may give him, at the end of the day, maybe gives him the slight edge over Romo Odunze.
Mel, you know what Michelle just said, I've agreed with the entire time with this draft process that we just think Arizona's going to sit there at four and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. But now you're making me think otherwise based on what you said. I want to make sure we're clear on this. You think that theoretically, if Minnesota wants to guarantee themselves a quarterback, it has to be four, not five. That Arizona, in your mind, could be willing to move off of four and not just draft Marvin Harrison Jr., correct?
No, what I'm saying is that you can't, if you get to five, there's always something you can't guarantee because there's three receivers that are constant. And remember, this is a deep wide receiver group. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU has a high grade. Xavier Worthy has a high grade from Texas. You're going to have six, seven receivers in the first, six, seven more in the second, and six, seven more in the third. I have 27 receivers inside the fourth round in terms of grade. So what I'm saying is if you get to five, say now, they make the deal and they get to five, that doesn't guarantee them J.J. McCarthy. Because if you have quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, then do they like Bo Nix enough? So, again, you lose the quarterback. So that's assuming that Arizona trades out. Then maybe Arizona has no intention of trading out, and they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., which is what you expect them to do. My point is that you can't, if you're the Vikings, say, oh, we're definitely getting J.J. McCarthy. You don't know that for sure because there is an Arizona Cardinal team that they get bowled over by an offer, may move out of there and let somebody else jump in there and get J.J.
Very interesting. Mel, amazing stuff. Mel Kiper Jr. is mock draft. Latest one is out, ESPN.com. Check it out. He'll be all over ESPN television today. Mel, thank you so much. We appreciate the time.
Most fascinating draft in NFL history coming up, guys. Enjoy the guys. Take care.
All right, there's Mel Kiper Jr. Really interesting stuff because you went, Smalls, of Arizona's locked into four.
Yeah. Feels and now like that Sharpie.
Right, but now I don't – maybe like a – an erasable pen? Is there such a thing? Like, we bring white out with us to this? I don't know. Now I'm starting to think maybe Arizona could trade out of that.
Yeah, but they let go of, Rondale Moore and Hollywood Brown. You would think that they have to absolutely take a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, you look their wide receiver course. I mean, I just feel like they absolutely are in a position where they got to take a receiver.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, nothing screams Chris Carlin more than steady mobbing. Chris Carlin, Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern time, joins us now.
The big fella.
Why am I the target of the tournament challenge?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I felt like, you know what? I woke up and I wanted to remind everybody that we're better than you. So wow. Let's all prove it. That's all there is
so
to it.
So that's what was behind the sponsorship with Pat Costello.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. That's just Pat understanding that money is well worth his time and his soul. So we can purchase his soul to really just get under your skin and also promote our show.
Yeah,
but there was no exchange of funds. If I understand this right, you gave him a sponsorship for, I guess, caffeinated beverages? Is that what's happening?
How many beverages are we talking?
Yeah, and knowing you probably got the beverages for free somewhere.
So no. Just,
yeah, of course you did.
No. Three of them, Pat?
Yeah.
Three?
I'm not an expensive sponsor or person.
I know.
Sponsor.
I thought our deal was two.
Oh.
Wow. Negotiating
all
after
right, fine.
The fact.
Yeah.
At Chris Carlin on Twitter. Brackets are up. Join the ESPN Radio Tournament Challenge group and go up against the whole lineup. The world will be better knowing we're all better at this than at Evco Radio.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm particularly good at this, so I agree with you.
I know. I just wanted to point it out and make sure that everybody could hold that over you. That's all.
Okay. All right. You know, cool. Well, then it's been held.
It's my own version of an homage to you. Let's
look
at it that way.
Such an honor, Carlin. Thank you so much. All right. Nuno literally said we got to ask him our food question of the day. No, we do really have a food question.
Yes.
In the Carlin household growing up, what was the Carlin family meal? Like, CeCe talked about this unbelievable crab fettuccine. Smalls has talked about lasagna. I talked about the fact that my mom ordered pizza. What is yours in terms of the Carlin family meal growing up?
Well, in the kitchen, my mother was, how do I put this? Atrocious.
Awful.
Yeah. And I'm very confident she's not listening right now. But even if she was, I'd tell it to her face.
Wow.
Because that's me. I did not know until I was 35 years old that turkey at Thanksgiving was not supposed to be bone dry. Honestly, she was so bad. The only thing that she was ever really good at making was spaghetti and meatballs, which was my favorite. And then I made it for her birthday on her recipe about 5-6 years ago. She looks at me and she says, not enough salt. Thanks, Bob. I just spent all day doing this for you, and you're throwing that back in my face. You know what, lady? You were a butcher in the kitchen, so to speak.
Wow.
Yeah, Carlin.
Listen, this is the point. Nobody is protected from me. No, I will absolutely go after anyone. Mm. No question.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about your football team then. Pittsburgh Steelers. Do we like what they did here?
Justin
Fields and Russell Wilson.
I love this. I absolutely love this from a few different perspectives. Obviously, they give up very little to get Justin Fields. With Russell Wilson, it is very low risk. I mean, he walks in the door. They tell him, you be the starter. You're the starter for right now. That's what he wants to hear. So that's why he went to Pittsburgh. Then all of a sudden, Justin Fields falls in their laps. Are you going to tell me that somehow early in the year we see Russ doing what he did in Denver last season? Justin Fields has played reasonably well, that everybody's not going to be screaming for him and they're going to turn to him pretty quickly. If Russ is not happy about that, you know what? He'll be gone. They will not waste any time. Look what just happened with Kenny Pickett. Like, he's unhappy that they brought in Russell Wilson, and now he wants out. All right, you're out. See you later. I mean, they have very little invested and Russell Wilson. I think for them, talent-wise, in both cases, the quarterback room just got a lot better. And you have a chance to pick up the fifth-year option at $25 million. It's still a very reasonable number, and you can figure it out over the next 2 years with Fields.
Big fella, let's look at the team on the other side of the trade, the Chicago Bears. They seem poised to take Caleb Williams with the first overall pick. How good does Williams have to be in his rookie season to save the job of GM Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus?
Well, but here's the thing. I hope that's not the case, Canty, because we continue to screw these guys up. We continue to screw them up by drafting them, and they're automatically in positions where a coach can get fired immediately, and then it's another coordinator, and then it's another system, and then it's another GM who's putting other guys in place. I think Poles...
Have you watched the Chicago Bears?
I understand that. I actually think that this is starting to resemble a functional franchise. I mean, the fact that they got rid of Fields was the right thing to do at this point, but with Eberflus, like... that's what still would concern me the most if I'm Caleb Williams. Are you going to screw me up long term? That's possible. Like, look at all the quarterbacks over the last several years and what has gone wrong with them and why it has gone wrong. It's obviously they play a role, but you can't tell me that when you're firing your coach, I don't know, seven games into the year, like we saw with Bryce Young, or after year one and you're changing it up again and you've got somebody who's got a different coordinator for the third consecutive year, how is that at all cohesive for what they're doing?
So, Carlin, would you suggest that he doesn't play right away?
No, listen, I have no problem if he plays right away. I absolutely think he should play right away. But I don't want to see a scenario where there is just no consistency in the voices who are teaching him how to develop. And I'm sure that's a concern for him right now. I think you should play right away. I'm hoping that Keenan Allen could stay healthy. I know, you know, I heard Mel on before talking about Allen and maybe why they go a different direction with the ninth pick without a receiver. I had pointed this out. He's missed 11 games the last, 2 years, and he's going to be a free agent after this coming year unless they do another contract. They have DJ Moore, but I still would be concerned about that, and I still would think about taking one of those receivers if one of the top three is still on the board.
We're talking with Chris Carlin. Carlin versus Joe, noon until 3 Eastern here on ESPN Radio. Carlin, you've worked in D1 athletics for an enormous amount of time. Rutgers play-by-play, calling games for ESPN Radio as well. Transfer portal, NIL, the fact that it started yesterday, the day after the NCAA tournament is announced. How would you describe the state of what's going on there?
Not good. Well, here's the real problem that nobody is going to talk about right now. We're all talking about NIL. The thing that influences NIL and players the most right now is obviously money coming in. But where does that money come from? It comes from some outside sources, but a lot of it is donors who are putting together collectives. And if we're being truthful, you go to major universities in the SEC, there's no problem. They will hand over the money like it's nothing, right? There is going to be a lot of donor fatigue over the next few years. And what I mean by that is the people who are being asked to give to build buildings are now being asked to put it in the pockets of players, which I guarantee you they're not terribly comfortable with. And this is kind of outside the box and in the weeds, but it's a big factor. It's not tax deductible. NIL is not tax deductible for somebody who donates. So you are going to have a lot of coaches who are going to be promising NIL money, and they don't have that money to promise. Like, they're hoping down the line that they can come up with it. But you will have players who are going to be like, where's my money? And they didn't get it. And then all of a sudden, they're transferring again because somebody else is promising them money. Like, these are the parts of it that are really, really problematic.
Very interesting. I didn't think that we were going to get Chris Carlin, the accountant, on here today, but he did. That is tremendous, Carlin.
Well, no, I mean, it is a true thing.
I know. I never heard that before. Very well done.
They keep coming back to you for money. Okay, we'll donate. In the South, they don't care. Or at the, in the SEC, they don't care. At Michigan, they don't care. Other places, You know, they talk about the idea that somehow this is going to level the playing field. Not as much as you think it is.
Chris Carlin, Joe Fortenbaugh, noon until 3 Eastern time today. Go to the Tournament Challenge app and you could beat them on your tournament brackets. Thank you, Carlin. We appreciate it.
You know what? I feel good that I was just asked for sports knowledge today and not to, you know, dance, you fat monkey, dance, you know, make with the yuck yuck. It was nice. It's nice to be respected for my brain.
Right. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Filling out the brackets with ESPN is free and easy. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 men's and women's brackets. We're almost at 11. No, we're at 11.7 million, almost at 11.8 million, thus almost at 12 million brackets all in. You can create and join groups to compete against others, ESPN Radio men's and women's groups. It makes it easy for you to get the info you need with the Tournament Challenge app. I want to clean up a couple of things that are out there. One, Carlin brought up something interesting about the Steelers relative to the quarterback position. I do not think that they're going to have a single moment of a quarterback controversy, and I'll tell you why. If Russell Wilson is going to be the starter going into camp, which we know he is, and Russell Wilson loses that job to Justin Fields, which is possible, right? Maybe not probable, but possible. I don't believe that Russell Wilson will spend 1 second as a backup on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe they will release him and let him try to find another gig and not try to create any kind of controversy at all. They'll bring somebody else in as the backup. It reminds me, in a way, Mac Jones, Cam Newton a few years ago. New England was not going to say to Cam Newton, you have to be a backup, because Cam Newton is not made up to be a backup quarterback. He's too big of a presence and a personality and a too great of a player for a long period of time, and they all agreed it makes no sense for him to be the backup.
So what you're saying is Russell Wilson will be done?
Starter or on another team, or done if you want to...
I'm asking the question. Yeah. Theoretically, that was the beginning of the end for Cam Newton.
No, that was the end.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, there's a possibility of that, sure. Yeah, I'll give you that.
So is that the scenario, like Russell Wilson will go the way of Cam Newton in terms of career arc, where he goes from being a starter to being out of the league and not having the opportunity to be a backup?
I would have to find the quote, but I believe Cam Newton, to his credit, said something along the lines of, I understand why I can't be a backup. Like, I'm too big of a presence to be a backup. And I thought it was one of the most mature, logical things that you could hear somebody say. It's just an amazing sense of self. Like, he knows who he is. Mm-hmm. He's not just like, oh, yeah, give me a clipboard, I'll hang out over here. He's Cam Newton. He's an MVP, you know? And so that's one thing that I wanted to just add on to. The other thing, we have not cleaned up one big issue here.
What's up?
What?
Rob, our social and digital guru, is a Cleveland guy, and he's wearing a Yankee hat. We started having the conversation, and we never finished the conversation as to whether or not we're okay with wearing hats of teams you're not a fan of.
Well, I mean, LeBron James does it.
Like I said, are we okay with that?
Well, hold on. Who's to say that Rob is not a fan of the Yankees? We don't know that.
He's not a Yankees fan.
Okay, Yankees fan. I tried to save him there.
You're a Guardians fan? Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Okay, so if he's not a Guardians fan.
You're not. Okay, so you're not,
so
you're not big on the baseball.
So this is just for aesthetic purposes. This is just a hat to him.
So
this
he doesn't
not about
have
fandom.
An allegiance to a baseball
yeah,
team.
Yeah, it's totally
so
different.
It's fair. It's on the board. He can wear a Yankee
hat. It's not like if I were to come on here and wear a Cubs hat, which I would never do.
But is there
I
a hat?
You even said that.
I know.
Is there
gross.
A hat in baseball that you're like, that's kind of a cool look, I'd rock that?
Yeah, Yankees hat.
Would you wear a Yankee
yeah.
hat?
Yeah.
Okay.
American League team. Really?
American League team.
I live in New York City.
American League team.
Unless the Cardinals and the Yankees meet in the World Series, and if that were the case, forget it, Yankees. I hope that you lose, and I hope you get swept.
I don't think you have to worry about that as long as Brian Cashman's the GM.
Listen, the Cardinals. I saw the Cardinals last year.
You'll have no problems.
I'm worried about the rotation.
I am stunned by this. What? I would say of our show, the most loyal allegiance of fandom with no wavering is you with the St. Louis Cardinals.
It's me with my city, yeah.
But you would wear a Yankee hat?
But the Yankees aren't a threat to the Cardinals unless they're playing them, which they do have a series this year, or it's in the World Series.
You could have just stopped. The Yankees aren't a threat to the Cardinals. Could have just stopped right there.
All right, stop. We need Vegas East to weigh in on this. Is it okay for Smalls to wear a Yankee hat? That's Bristol, by the way. Vegas East?
Are they doing I think show? So.
Yeah, thank you.
Why not? If you like the logo.
We are doing it on the show.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hey, if the camera pans over into the control room, you'll see who we're talking to. So
take it
up with him.
I can't see.
There's
our boss. It's our boss. It's Justin.
Justin's interrupting the show. That is an amazing thing.
First of all, Smalls is a true fan. She would never rock a Yankee hat.
She just said she would. This is just proving you don't listen to the show.
Wasn't even close. He took a shot. You got to give him credit.
Unbelievable.
Shoot or shoot, Nuno.
The purpose of this conversation was that we left something hanging that we had to clean up, whether or not it's okay to do this. Smalls just said she wears a Yankee hat.
Nuno had a 50% chance of getting that one right.
And he got it wrong.
I have such respect for Smalls as a fan that I would think that she would never do that.
Thank you, Nuno.
Apparently, I should listen more.
So I would never wear a Yankees hat in St. Louis, but I live in New York City. And again, they're in completely different leagues.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is it okay to rock gear of a team you're not a fan of, especially when you're as loyal to a team like Smalls is to the St. Louis Cardinals? It's one thing if I'm doing it. I'm a front runner. CC can absolutely rock multiple teams' gears in the NFL. You know why? He played for multiple teams. But what if you... Wait, now I'm thinking about something. What if you came in here wearing gear of an NFL team that was not the Giants, the Cowboys, or the Ravens?
It was free.
Yeah, you probably got it free from a visit.
No, I've gotten
like
plenty of free Jets gear, and I would never wear that out anywhere.
So, Kansas,
I don't think I even wear it at home.
You'd feel weird about it.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm like the Jets have given me jerseys. They've given me hoodies. I've got plenty of Jets swag.
You can donate that over here.
How would you fit it?
It'd be a dress for you.
It'd probably be down to my toes.
Rob would be good with it. Canty, you started rooting for Michigan because your wife's a Michigan grad, right?
That is correct.
But if she was all of a sudden a Chicago Bears fan, a Bulls fan, like, are you going to start like rooting for them and rocking their gear?
No.
If they send it to you for free?
The Bulls stuff is iconic because of Jordan. Yeah. So that, I don't even know if that's fair to compare. Chicago Bears stuff, no. I mean, my wife was born in '87. Ain't a whole lot to root for the Bears between when she was born and now.
No.
Oh, she really missed a window.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, it's just, did I just put my wife's age out there?
Yes, you did.
Boy, sorry, baby. My bad.
What if she went to Vatek? And she's like, no, come on. VaTech's really good.
Never.
Virginia
girl. See, that's a rival thing. So you can never do that.
Yeah.
You wear a Yankee hat. Why don't you think that? How can you think that that's okay? I literally don't understand that.
I have a Cardinals hat, too. I wear that,
too. I'm aware that you have Cardinals gear. Oh, my God.
I don't have many pieces of sports gear. Like, I don't own a jersey.
You realize you're burying yourself even more.
Other than my city gear. Why?
Because if you don't have, it's not like
it was a gift. Someone gave me a Yankee hat as a gift when I moved here.
Nick in Florida joins us on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
ESPN West Palm.
All right, on ESPN West Palm. Thank you, Nick. Go ahead.
Hey guys, just to weigh in on the uniform debate. Like, I'm a huge Bears fan. Would I wear an Aaron Rodgers jersey? Absolutely not. I am a huge Cleveland Cavaliers fan. Would I wear a Kobe Bryant jersey? Absolutely. It's different, you know.
It is different.
Why is that different? That's interesting. Why is that different? Oh, he's
would
gone.
You,
oh.
What's your favorite NBA team?
The Heat.
Would you wear a Kobe Bryant jersey?
I love Kobe, and no, I would not.
What? Really? Really? That's shocking to me.
I don't know. I mean, Michael's the only one that
I don't
feel
know
like
why you
different.
Say you're so staunch in your fandom, but you already tout that you're a front runner too. Like, you would leave your team if they struggled for an extended period of time.
You're gonna leave your team if Bill Belichick gets hired elsewhere.
Exactly. So why am I supposed to believe this diehard fan
to come down on me about wearing a Yankees hat?
Because stop looking at me, everybody. Come on. Look over there. Look at Smalls and look at Rob.
You're like, oh, it's a Tuesday. Let's change my team, and you're gonna come at me for wearing a hat of the city that I live in.
All right. Thanks for joining. We're done with this now. How did this become a me thing? I didn't do anything wrong here.
Because I don't think that you're in a position.
You just judged the last caller.
Yes. I was just surprised.
You said you didn't do anything. That's why we're judging you now, because you are the most fair weather fan out of all of us.
Totally. How are you in a position to come at us
the
about fandom?
The biggest front runner bandwagon guy that we've ever seen.
Well, this backfired. Backfired. Okay. How's everybody else doing? Okay. Good. Can I join the Bristol conversation, whatever's going on back there now?
I do have a question for you, Evan, that I thought about when I was watching Dynasty over the weekend. At what point did you decide to jump on the Patriots bandwagon? Because you, like, for me, I was born into my fandom, right? Like, it is in my blood from the moment I came into this earth. My family was like, you're going to cheer for the Cardinals. You're going to cheer for the Blues, okay? At what point in this dynastic journey with the Patriots did you decide to ditch whatever team you were currently cheering for and jump on that bandwagon?
Can I guess? I want to take a guess on
that.
Go
for it.
I'm going to say it was the second Super Bowl, 2003, against the Carolina Panthers.
Year before. The off year.
The year before when they didn't
when
make
Brady
the playoffs.
Became like Brady.
So how
right?
old were you at that time?
Yeah, 22, I think.
So at 22, a full grown adult, you just decided this is going to be my team and part of my identity.
Okay, again, why?
I'm just so floored by
that. That is the most bandwagon I've ever seen.
Floored by that.
The most bandwagon.
So did
I've
you
ever
have
seen.
To hold a press conference for your friends and family? Hey guys, this is my team now.
Wow.
I am now
the decision.
The decision. He's Kevin Durant. You know,
taking my fandom to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, did you do that? Did you have to tell everybody this is my team now?
I rooted for the Rams against them in the first Super Bowl. Anyway,
if you want good players that ain't worried about being stars, ain't all up in the videos, dancing, all up in the end zone, dancing.
Come to Foxborough.
Were there questions from people when you decided to make, who was your team before that?
Giants growing up. But the Giants became the Patriots. That's the thing that, like, I always say, if you think about what the Giants were my entire childhood, Nuno and CeCe can back this up as Giants. You can back up the idea that the way the Giants were in the 80s birthed the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's what that's what I grew up loving.
Yeah, George Young, yeah.
Yeah, but Parcells, Belichick, right. Romeo, Charlie. I'm saying that I'm on the staff. Romeo Cornell and Charlie Weiss. Yeah.
But most people that are born into a fandom of a historic franchise like the Giants, they don't deviate from that.
Yeah, okay, again, you wore a Yankee hat. All right, let me tell you something that I have not wavered on, and that is True Green. True Green is there for you to elevate your lawn game. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, so Nuno's Knicks came through for us last night. Had him on a little two-leg parlay. Knicks plus 8.5 points. And we took the over on total points at 207.5. And both of those boxes were checked, paid out at plus 134. So we're going back to the association tonight with a little Canty can't lose action. Let me say that again. Canty can't lose action. Denver Nuggets on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves for the T-Wolves. Second night of a back-to-back. So, of course, you know I'm bullish on the Minnesota Timberwolves. I love their prospects. I think they're a true challenger to the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference. If you could call any team a challenger to the Nuggets in the West. So, I'm going to roll with the Denver Nuggets. And I'm going to lay the points. And we're going to take the over on team total points. Now, we're buying points with the team total and the spread. So, I've got the Denver Nuggets laying 4.5. And I've got the over on the team total at 209.5. That two-leg parlay pays out at plus 153. So you know what happens. Like if the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, they win, or if they come closer than losing, if they lose by less than four. I mean, all of a sudden, we can have that conversation some more. Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
Before we get to unsportsmanlike moment, we're going to get to something very sportsmanlike in terms of the career of someone and the life of someone who's been an unbelievable broadcaster and inspiration for so many people. Hannah Storm, our teammate here at ESPN, revealed today that she received an early stage diagnosis of breast cancer. She did so on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts, and she is doing well. She is getting the treatment she needs, and not surprisingly, she's already out there trying to inspire others for this fight, and certainly we want to wish our best wishes to Hannah Storm, our teammate, and can't wait till she sees the other side of this in beating this and then inspires so many to do the same.
Yes, all of our love and support to Hannah. I have no doubt that she is attacking this fight like she does everything else with tenacity and bravery and class. And I know that she's going to be okay. And like you said, Evan, can't wait for her to be on the other side of
this. Yeah, big ups to Hannah for this. The courage to fight this battle publicly, trying to advocate for women. We know early detection is such a key part to trying to fight this terrible, terrible disease. So shout out to Hannah for doing what she does. She's incredible in everything that she does. And, of course, we should expect her to be incredible when it comes to this, the courage, the grace that she's going to show through this fight.
At ESPN Front Row on Twitter, if people want to learn more about it, our ESPN team on the public relations side put out the whole story there. You can read it and find out all about the inspiring moments here that Hannah Storm is going to have in beating this and inspiring others, of course, to beat it as well. And so definitely best wishes there to Hannah Storm. Time now for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, guys, we find things that are weird, quirky for this every single day. So DeAndre Ayton of the Portland Trail Blazers, they stink. They're 19-49. I mean, what do you want me to say? They stink. They wanted to stink this year. They want another high draft pick next year. So DeAndre Ayton has had a weird season. There's a human element of moving teams. CC can speak towards that better than anybody, that, you know, you deal with some things. This was not one I expected him to deal with. He put out there yesterday that I guess when he got to the Blazers, he didn't have a bed. And he had to deal with sleeping on an air mattress. You're giving me a look. Go ahead.
An air mattress?
I don't know. I guess maybe his bed was delayed in delivery and that he was dealing with sleeping on an air. Now, this is a man, for those who don't know, that is 7'1".
Yeah, and his money is about the same height as he is. I mean, DeAndre Ayton has a 9-figure contract. Yeah, nine-figure contract.
Stay in a hotel.
You can't find a better bed than that, bro. Like, I mean, to sleep on an air mattress? I mean, that is, I mean, I understand being frugal, but damn, that is next level. Like, I'd rather sleep on an air mattress than to get a hotel room.
And remember there was an issue this year? He missed the game because of the snowstorm because he couldn't get out of his driveway?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's obviously living in the wrong place.
Yeah, right?
He can't get out of his driveway. He doesn't have a bed. I mean, at what point, if you're the Blazers, you sit back and say, maybe we made the wrong move here? Like, I understand basketball-wise doesn't necessarily impact this, but, like, what is this real? Like, I almost feel like this has got to be fake.
I wonder how big the air mattress was for him to even be able to kind of fit on it.
I have a big air mattress in my house, like a queen or king size air mattress. There's no way a 7 foot one guy
that's
can
what
fit
I'm
under
saying.
No shot.
No way. All right, last night we saw an insane dunk by Anthony Edwards, right? Just yes. ridiculous dunk for the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Utah Jazz. But there were some moments from that dunk. Like, as the show has progressed here, we have found different moments. CeCe has spent time trying to dissect where he got injured because it was such a powerful dunk. Yeah. That was it the ball that went into his finger? Was it his finger that went into John Collins' face? It was just ridiculous. But there are other moments that we did not capture around this dunk. How about Kyle Anderson?
I love this.
Kyle Anderson is a forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves. His reaction was amazing. He had the most stunned reaction where he had his mouth wide open, his hands over his head like, oh my God, I cannot believe what just happened here.
That's incredible, the dunk that Ant-Man had. I mean, it looked like he almost mushed John Collins while he was dunking on him. So it's like another layer of insult. On top of the injury. Like, it's like, I insulted you twice by mushing you and dunking on you simultaneously, and then you ended up having a head contusion that everybody thought could have been a concussion, which forced you to miss the rest of the game. That's all bad if you're John Collins. Like, the only thing that you could actually take away from last night, where you're like, hey, maybe there's a silver lining, is that Austin Reeves from the Lakers got dunked on worse by Jalen Johnson. That's about it.
Yeah, but can I add one other thing?
What's up?
As part of the unsportsmanlike moment. So as Anthony Edwards is walking out after the game last night, he's signing autographs. A kid screams out to him, can I have your jersey? Anthony Edwards responds, I got to give it to Collins.
Oh my gosh.
If you were John Collins, do you want that jersey? Do you want the game-worn Ant-Man jersey?
I kind of do.
We've seen some interesting jersey exchanges around the NBA recently.
Yes, we have.
This would be another one. I mean, what do you think? I'd take it.
I mean, you never want to be put on a poster, right? Let me say that again. You never want to be put on a poster.
But
you have to be good enough to be in the NBA in order to get posterized by Ant-Man. So,
and
wear it as a badge of honor, literally and figuratively.
I also think making fun of yourself a little bit in moments like this really can.
Well, you actually didn't make fun of yourself. He made fun of you.
Right, but if you play along with it, yeah. I think it kind of serves you better than acting a type of way about it. Because what are you going to do? We're replaying it over and over and over.
So you
again.
Have the framed jersey with the picture in your home. That is amazing if you're John Collins.
Why not?
Greeny coming up next. We are on to Wednesday. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.